Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million. With the news of the European bailout sinking in, we spent our day on the streets today asking versions of this question. Now what are you going to do? From American Public Media in Athens, Greece today, this is Marketplace. It's Tuesday, the 14th of July. I'm Kai Rizdal in Athens once again in the studios of ERT, Hellenic Radio and Television. Good, as always, to have you along, everybody. It is, I know, only Tuesday, but this has already been, as you know, a week of deals. We'll have the marketplace slice of today's announcement of the Iranian nuclear agreement in just a little bit. First, though, the streets of Athens, Greece, where we have spent the last 72 or so hours trying to figure out what it's like to live and work in a country that's been in economic crisis for 5 years. And also to pick up where we left off yesterday with what happens next. There is a case to be made that what happens next will be good, which is to say good in the there's nowhere to go but up sense. Nick Voglis is a Greek-born, U.S.-educated entrepreneur. He runs a sandwich shop in downtown Athens. It's called Trends. And that is where we interrupted him while he was working behind the counter one day.
Hey, how are you?
We caught you in the middle of a shift.
That's right.
What you making?
I am making right now a Trent Caesar salad. Want to try one?
No, I'm good. I just ate.
Sure?
Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm all right.
You're from Los Angeles, huh?
Yep.
I used to live in Florida.
Why'd you come back?
Well, I enjoyed living in Europe. I lived 20 years abroad. My father was an executive with 3M, so I lived a little bit in Brussels, and then I lived many, many years in the States. I was educated there.
And now you're here.
And I've been back here for the last 16 years.
So yeah. 16 years ago, did you think you'd wind up doing this?
I came here to create this into a franchise. Unfortunately, we were not able to do that.
So talk to me for a minute about where things stand right now. How's business, for instance?
Our business has fallen since the peak of 2007 by 40 to 50%.
Are you still making money?
We are barely making money.
So how are you still
in
business?
We had to reduce our expenses. We fired about six. We used to have 7 employees. We now have 1 part-time and my wife. Major depression here.
What do you think of the news of the day?
The news of the day, that I think they had no other solution, unfortunately, because you have to be part of the European community and the euro. Greece cannot survive with a drachma, you know. They have to do these reforms. They just didn't do it during the good times, and they have to do them during depression times, which is very difficult.
If you weren't already here in business,
yeah.
Would you come here and start up a sandwich shop?
Of course not. Of course not. There's a lot of things that need to be changed, but let's not make a mistake, huh? This is the biggest experiment in the Western world.
Is it going to work?
I believe it's going to work eventually.
Eventually. How much time you got? Are you going to see it in your lifetime?
I think so. I think every time you have major problems, you find solutions, if you want to find solutions. I think eventually we'll go ahead, yeah. There's no other way, really.
Are you ever going to be able to grow this into the chain that you wanted?
Well, that was my plan when I first came here back in 1997.
You're going to make it? It's been 20 years.
Let me tell you something. If it does happen, this is the opportunity.
Thanks, Nick. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
The update on the news of the day, by the way, of the bailout, of course, goes like this. Parliament here votes tomorrow on the reforms that the European Union wanted as a condition for getting the $90 or so billion. It will likely pass with some opposition help. Prime Minister Tsipras went on TV tonight, by the way, ERT and Point of Fact, our broadcast host here, and he said in almost this many words, he's not wild about the deal himself, but he said it's better than leaving the euro. One of the things you find out pretty quickly talking to people here, especially people who have children, is that they're hanging on not so much for themselves as for their kids. People working three jobs, doing what it takes so that it will be better eventually. It's people like Tonya Korka, who I met near Syntagma Square here in Athens.
My name is Tonya. I'm 40 years old. My job description is a little complicated. I am a research associate at the Hellenic Institute of International and Foreign Law. I am a jurist, let's say, but I am not a permanent employee. I get paid about 3 months per 3 months, and the money is too little. They're not enough to make a living. So I am obliged to have a second and occasionally a third job because I have a family and I have to to eat. Yes. But I don't have free time at all. At all.
At all. Do you have children?
I have one son. He's 13 years old.
What does he have to say about all this?
He's not complaining because he's a kid of the crisis. He's used to it, let's say. He knows that this is the way things have to be.
Yeah. When you go out for a cup of coffee with your friends, do you talk about this all the time?
Yes. Yes, if you are going to meet your friend, because if you don't have money, you are not going for a coffee. This is my category. I don't go out, ever.
It's been 5 years of the crisis. How much longer do you think it can go like this?
I think for 10 years, maybe. If we're going to have these measures right now and afterwards, it's for 3 years, okay? But I believe that for 10 years, we're going to have this situation.
How do you live day to day then? Do you go to the bank every day and get your 60 euros?
Because I don't have 60 euros in the bank. I don't have to withdraw, so I'm a happy person. I work, I get paid, and I live day by day. I don't have savings, I don't have a bank account right now, the last years. So, no.
If you could leave and get a job somewhere else?
I would leave... Right now I'm going to the airport. If I have a job outside of here, and I want to reiterate it for my son. I believe that here we're lost. We're done as a country.
As I think I've said once or twice, if not on the actual radio, then certainly to our crew here, man, this place is crawling with tourists. So, of course, we did the touristy thing. We went up to the Acropolis and started talking to people.
Tell me who you are, first of all, would you?
Sangeeth Peruri.
And where are you from?
California.
Why'd you come to Greece?
The kids wanted a beach vacation. The wife wanted culture, so we figured Greece.
How much are you paying attention to the whole... Eurozone, Eurogroup, all this stuff?
We spent a lot of time trying to make sure if we needed to take any precautions in terms of coming here. So we brought extra cash and bought ourselves a money belt and things like that.
Do you look around and go, doesn't look like it's 25% unemployment?
You know, the main thing I noticed is what you see in the press is a lot different than when you get here. It doesn't seem like people here are nearly as worried as the press. It's kind of like in California. You know, you go anywhere else, they think that we have no water and we're dying of dehydration. But California things seem fine when you live there.
Tell me your name, ma'am.
Gail Allen, Pensacola, Florida.
What did you think before you came here?
Before we came here, we thought about canceling and getting a flight straight from the cruise back home. But as far as money, and we've been out to eat breakfast, lunch, dinner, but... You know, you can tell there's something different because, you know, it's not busy on the streets and stuff.
What do you think's going to happen?
I'm hoping that the tourist season will bring back the economy a little bit. If not, I'd hate to see a country like this go under. It's a beautiful country.
Maybe the last place you'd expect to find a group of German performers putting on a show right now is Athens, given Germany's hardline approach to the Greek debt crisis. As I was saying yesterday, all you have to do is mention German Finance Minister Wolfgang Schäuble's name, and the gloves pretty much come off. But a small German theater group called She Pop S-H-E-S-A-G, pop, has chosen this week of all weeks to make its Greek debut. Marketplace's Stephen Beard took in the show.
What is behind that curtain?
You were born.
Shishi Pop is an all-female German group performing offbeat shows about social issues. They've proved highly popular at alternative venues across Europe, but Lisa Lucassen, a member of the group, admits a certain nervousness about coming to Athens.
Yeah, we did feel nervous, and I thought about putting someplace on my body the sentence, I didn't vote for her.
Merkel.
Yeah.
They expected at least the occasional boo, but Venka Seaman, another member of the group, says they haven't encountered any hostility from the audiences. And offstage, only the odd barbed question.
Why is your government acting like that? And I could only explain my only personal point of view. So, and
you don't agree with the government?
No, of course not. I don't. Not at all.
These women are not flag-waving German nationalists. Ask Venka about her own national identity.
I am a European.
European rather than a German.
Rather than a German, right.
Hast du eigentlich eine Ahnung, wie das ist, wenn man mit 8 weiteren Jahren Kohl leben muss, wegen dir?
Their show, in German with Greek subtitles, is relevant to the Greek debt crisis. It's about German reunification. 25 years ago, the Berlin Wall came down, the two halves of the country were rejoined, and West Germany over the years poured more than $2 trillion into the impoverished East to bail it out and bring it up to scratch.
I think you could say that the thing went well.
Do you think that's what's required now in Europe? Do you think Germany should be doing now to Greece what it did to East Germany?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. They should.
Shishi Pop clearly doesn't speak for the majority of Germans, but the group's Ilya Papathiodou says they do reflect the views of many young Germans who admire the way the Greeks resisted the German demand for austerity, unlike other weaker countries in the Eurozone.
Italy fell, Spain and Portugal and Ireland, they all fell over like that. And the Greeks didn't.
The women cheerfully admit they don't know anything about economics, but Lisa Lucassen says it was always pretty obvious that the euro wasn't going to bring the continent together.
Because money doesn't get people together. It doesn't matter if they have the same coins. That's not the way to do it. People have to meet and talk and maybe eat and sing, but not have the same currency.
An unashamedly artistic point of view, but one that now, after bailout number 3, may be music to the ears of the majority of Germans. In Athens, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The way economic crises work is that it's not just people or countries in the middle of them that get squeezed. Market dynamics mean that effects can be felt far and wide. In this case, in the Queens, New York neighborhood of Astoria, sometimes known as Little Athens.
My name is Diana Loisel. This restaurant has been here for 26 years.
I'm Anthony Fidanakis. I've been working here at Titan Foods for almost 6 years.
We have at least 40 different products that we get only from Greece.
We used to be a store that was known for bargains,
which is our olive oil, our cheese, our, you know, even our olives, our peppers.
We actually become more and more expensive because all of those exports that we're buying from Greece have become less and less competitive.
A huge hike in olive oil, though, last year. Huge hike. Tremendous.
A period where we might bring 10, 12, 15 containers, we're only bringing over 3.
They've actually not brought a couple of the beers because the ships just couldn't leave Greece.
Some of the smaller suppliers, they will not accept credit cards, they will not accept debit cards, they won't accept any other payment other than cash.
The olives we buy were about $28, $29, and now they're $52.
Here at the store, our most popular product, Rahova Feta, was priced at $3.99 for almost 15 or 16 years. As soon as the euro came into being as Greece's currency, the price started to steadily rise and rise and rise, and today we find it, you know, we sell it downstairs in our store for $8 a pound, and we have to. We don't make very much money, and that's our top item.
That was Anthony Fedorakis of Titan Foods and Diana Loisel. She is the owner of Telly's Taverna, Both of them are in Little Athens in Queens, New York. Coming up, you remember how I said earlier there is nowhere to go here but up? Yeah, not so fast, Kai, not so fast.
My dreams are kind of crushed right now.
But first, let's do the numbers. The Dow Industrials up 75 points today, 0.4%, closed at 18,053. Yes, I said 18,053. The NASDAQ bumped up 33 points, 0.2%. 5104, the S&P 500 gained 9 points, 0.4%, ended things at 2108. Earnings news, JPMorgan Chase, JPM, topped profit estimates thanks in part to lower legal expenses. Shares traded up 1.4%. Wells Fargo gained 0.9% despite a drop in profit for the second quarter in a row. Johnson & Johnson off almost 0.5% today. Seems its overseas revenue was hurt by the strong dollar. Shares in Spirit Airlines descended 7.4%. Ouch. That after the low-cost carrier lowered its forecast for the rest of the year. And you are listening to Marketplace.
From the Marketplace Statebook, here's a look at events coming up Wednesday. In Washington, the Labor Department issues the Producer Price Index for June. The Federal Reserve releases its latest Beige Book summary of commentary on current economic conditions. And where are you on your summer binge-watching list? Netflix is scheduled to release quarterly earnings. I'm Michelle Phillippe.
This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdal, live once again today in Athens, Greece. The other big deal of this week, the today deal as it were, was of course the Iranian nuclear agreement. 80 million Iranians are awaiting relief from Western sanctions as a part of that deal. Now, it's not like they've been cut off from U.S. goods the whole time. Those goods can be had just at steep markups through indeterminate middlemen. But as Marketplace's Sabri Benishour reports, Iran's younger consumers have a lot more on their minds and wish lists than just cheaper iPhones.
Iran today is young.
Half of Iran's population is less than 30 years old.
That's Hossein Bostani with the BBC's Persian service. Iran today is highly educated. Half of 18 to 24-year-olds get college degrees, more women than men, incidentally. Iran today is also frustrated.
After going out of the universities, they expect to find the good jobs, but it is very difficult for them to find good jobs or jobs at all.
Young people are hanging a lot on sanctions relief and the investment it could bring. Kevin Harris is a professor of sociology at UCLA.
They believe that European investment and maybe even American investment will upgrade the economy.
For U.S. and European companies, Iran represents a market for imports currently dominated by Asian companies. Fibor's Gadar is a senior advisor at CSIS.
The GDP of Iran is twice that of Greece, and the population is seven times that of Greece. Much, much younger, much more entrepreneurial, much more willing to buy stuff.
But here's the risk. If foreign businesses don't trust that this deal will last, they won't invest. They'll just sell stuff to Iran.
For fast, risk-free cash.
This is according to Ibrahim Mohseni, research associate at the University of Maryland.
And if this happens, there is going to be a rise in unemployment.
Without foreign investment, cheaper foreign products would displace Iranian ones. People would lose work, and that young, highly educated Iran can add some other demographic tags, disappointed and angry. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
July in Athens is, and honestly, I probably should have thought of this before I got here, but it's hot, man. Lots and lots of Mediterranean sun. So when you're out reporting all day, walking around and talking to people, basically, a nice cool cafe is a welcome rest stop. In this case, the Shaman Bakery in central Athens. It's a couple of blocks off the main Syntagma Square.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, I guess.
Do me a favor and tell me your name.
Olga.
Olga, do you have 5 minutes?
5 minutes.
Okay. How's business?
Bad, actually.
Tell me more.
The Greeks have no money anymore, so the consumption is the right word. Yeah, it's decreased.
Consumption?
Yeah.
How long have you been here in business?
About four years, yes. When the crisis started.
That's not a good time to start a business.
Yes, we were the lucky ones. No, surprise.
How are you still in business then?
We don't have any profit, but we keep going and hoping for the best.
What's your best-selling item?
Banoffee and my pies, my Greek pies.
What's a banoffee?
Banoffee is a sweet made with biscuit at the base, toffee or dulce de leche, which is caramel made by milk, banana, fresh bananas, and cream.
Okay, so I'll take one of those.
Okay.
I will take the last one.
Okay.
Would you ever leave if it got really bad?
I don't want to leave. I want to stay and try to make things better.
But if you have no profit, how are you going to do that?
I think that we will make it.
How much longer can it go on, though?
I don't know. I'm not optimistic. I'm romantic, let's say.
So in a crisis, right, people don't have a lot of leisure time. They don't have time to sit and have a cup of coffee and savory. So who are your customers?
Everyone. It's our tradition to go out and talk to each other. If you have only €5 in your pocket and you have to pay your bills and only €5, you better go for a coffee.
We went out today looking for the next generation of Greeks that's going to be entering this economy, entering the workforce such as it is, with unemployment at 25% overall, 50% for young people. We wanted to find somebody who could tell us what that's like. And we found the perfect person sitting outside in a square just around the corner from the main buildings of the University of Athens.
My name is Evstathia Garavella. I'm a 20-year-old Greek citizen. I study computer engineering, hardware, and software.
When you look at the economy here and the crisis and the deal and the Europeans and all that, what goes through your mind? What do you think?
I'm really, really nervous about my future, to be honest. I just feel that I'm so young and I have so many dreams that I want them to come true. And this country doesn't offer me the chance to do so. Like, I don't have opportunities, job opportunities. We don't have the economy we want, so to get paid to jobs. So my dreams are kind of crushed right now.
How much more time do you have? How many more years of school do you have?
I have 2 more years.
What are you going to do if you can't find a job?
In the future, after graduation? It's a pretty simple answer. I'm just going to go somewhere else. I'm just going to leave this country. I have no other options but to do so.
Does that make you sad?
It makes me a lot of sad because I love my country. I've been abroad and I've missed my country while I was there. I've missed the sun, I've missed my city, I've missed my friends, my family, everything. So it's really, really hard. But I have no other options but to leave my country if things get worse.
This economy has been in a crisis basically since you've been 13, 14 years old. So you don't know anything else?
No, but I mean, my family, we had some serious economical problems before the crisis and we got a chance to live through this. So I have experienced some difficult problems and I believe that if you just stay together as a family and as a society, most importantly, things will pass and will get better.
This final note on the way out today, both out of the show and out of Athens. We're on our way home tomorrow, but I wanted to leave you with this little tidbit. Saturday morning when we got here, We were down at the Barakteris Tavern with Vasilis, the Giro guy, if you remember him from yesterday. Anyway, I was talking to the man who owns the place, Mr. Barakteris, as it happens. I was asking him about the crisis, and then this happened. I'm going to play the tape. Here you go.
Do you think you're ever going to be able to retire, to stop working?
Of course, yes. Eventually, it will happen.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
But I have something to say. I am also Greek-American. I came from the United States, from Texas. My name is Mary Lainiotti Karayanopoulos, and Greece is the most beautiful country in the whole world. Everything God will never allow for Greece for anything bad to happen. Nothing bad will ever happen to us.
Ever, except the past 5 years?
No, it's a trial. But the Greeks are used to trials over these years. Don't forget, we're more than 4,000 years old. In America, we say, this building is very old. How old? 100 years old. 100 years old is brand new for us. But God bless you. Come over and enjoy yourself in Greece. What's your opinion of Greece?
I like it so far, but I've been here for 4 hours.
Oh, that's wonderful. You will like it more after 24.
Thank you.
No, come on. How about that lady? She did everything but grab the microphone out of my hands. All right, we got to go. The Dow up 75 points today, 0.4%. The NASDAQ up 33 points, 0.2%. The S&P 500 gained 9 points. That is 0.4%. Caitlin Esch is the producer on our Wealth and Poverty Desk. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. The senior digital producer is Nishat Kerwa. Special thanks to the team here in Athens who helped us get the show on the air the last couple of days. Christos Karnatis and Elena Karnatis introduced us to a bunch of the people you heard on the broadcasts. Also, thanks to the good people at ERT for providing the studios. Tommy Andres and Rob Byers were on the ground with me here. Would not have happened without them. Believe me when I tell you that. I'm Kai Rizdal. We are back stateside tomorrow. I'm on a plane, actually. Molly Wood is going to be in charge. We'll see you later. And this is APM.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.